Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra because the hailing frequencies are open and I am Jason, watches a lot of television Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you are beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon.
I think we all watched a lot of television in 2020. That'd be true, right?
Yes.
I think everybody across the world, I think it doesn't matter what country you lived in, you probably watched more stuff on television this year than I would say probably any other year in your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely true for us.
I will say I also read a lot more this year.
I did too.
Which I'm very proud of.
Which I'm very happy as well.
I
read the Overstory 1,000 pages in less than 2 months.
There you go. So what are we talking about today on GHL Extra?
Well, okay. So we talked about this a little bit in the main episode about my theory about why there was just so much great television, how television was the hardest category and everything like that. But I think that that is because, again, we didn't have as much movie media. Like, if we'd been going to the movies, we'd been going to concerts, we'd been going to sporting events, going to rodeos, all kinds of things like that, specifically rodeos. And I think we wouldn't have discovered as much television. And one piece of evidence I have for that is that, for you and me, Umbrella Academy Season 1 was one of those shows that, because we have a Google Doc of shows mm-hmm. that we're going to watch, and Umbrella Academy was one of those shows. We were like, we'll get to it, but mm-hmm. we want to watch these other shows first. And the only reason why we watched Season 1 and Season 2 was because Season 2 had come out. We were in the middle of the pandemic. We were at home, and there was nothing else to do.
Yeah. Shout out to our buddy Jeff King, who works on that show.
You know what? And I will say, I am glad that we watched it because it was excellent.
It was excellent.
So there's a lot of great television this season,
mm-hmm.
mainly because of streaming, mainly because everybody... I feel like Oprah giving out cars, every network and every company and every industry now has its own streaming service. It's that you got a streaming service. You got a streaming service. Now you, 7-Eleven.
Yeah, you thought you knew which one was the worst, but they keep disappointing you.
So I have a couple of lists here. I have a list from Film School Rejects, and I have a list from BuzzFeed of the best TV scenes of 2020. Ashley, would you rather go with Film School Rejects or rather go with BuzzFeed?
Well, I think BuzzFeed should really take a look at itself and focus more on the positive than the negatives, because they've been posting a lot of this is the worst, and I don't think that that is respectful at any time, and I certainly don't think it's what we need in 2020. So let's go Film School Rejects first.
Okay, so one of the scenes that they talk about, and of course we're only going to talk about shows that we have seen,
yeah,
of course, because it'd be impossible to talk about ones we haven't seen.
What did Come you on. Think about that scene in Supernatural, Jason?
So they have a scene from The Crown Season 4, specifically the episode Fairy Tale. And it's a scene where Emma Corrin, who plays Princess Diana, is stuck in the royal home and she is roller skating across the Buckingham Palace.
Oh, interesting.
That is their pick for best scene of 2020. Now, you and I both enjoyed The Crown.
Uh-huh.
And I think if it was me picking the best scene, of course, flat out, there will be spoilers for all these shows because it's impossible to talk about scenes. So mm-hmm. If you hear us talk about a show that we haven't talked about,
skip forward a couple minutes.
Skip forward a little bit. For me, in The Crown Season 4, what I thought was one of the most haunting scenes, I do not remember the episode, but it's the episode where Prince Charles and Princess Diana are in Australia and they're on the porch
yes.
of that amazing yes. vista that they actually saw in Australia, I learned later.
Yeah.
And they sort of come to an understanding about the relationship before everything falls down. Although visually, I understand why they picked this scene.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know how to say this in a nice way, so I guess I'll just say it in kind of a mean way.
Oh, boy.
This is, like, the basicest choice for the best scene from The Crown, because this is a trailer shot. Mm-hmm. Like, this scene, A, absolutely did not happen,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that The Crown is fictionalized, right?
There's nothing wrong with trailer shots.
Absolutely not. Absolutely did not happen. This scene has literally nothing to do with anything in the episode. Literally nothing to do with Diana.
I disagree with both of those comments. 100%. It has absolutely a lot to do with Diana.
I think there are others. I think the ballet scenes, because Diana was actually a dancer, mm-hmm. Have a lot more to do. I think there's a lot. I just think there are better scenes that actually have something to say about the season and the character. And the scene that I was going to bring up was their argument in Australia.
I think that was the best scene of the entire season.
I think it's between that and then there's an episode, which I can't remember the name of, I apologize, but the episode where Margaret basically learns that they have a lot of history of mental illness in their family have been tucking those poor people away in a hospital. Like, I think there are scenes in that episode that are very, very haunting as well.
If I were to nominate another scene from The Crown, I would say that there's a scene in the last episode. I think it is almost, it's the second to last scene, and it's the conversation between Philip and Diana.
That was the other one I was going to bring up.
And he talks about how you are an outsider in this family.
Yes, and he kind of waffles between, which my understanding, being someone very much on the outside, is that that is true, that they had sort of a good relationship for a while and then a bad relationship. Like, they sort of waffle between, is Philip going to be understanding of Diana, or is he going to reject her along with everyone else? And Tobias Menzies is high key the best part of this generation of the Crown. I was going to say the throne, and everything that he does throne. Is wonderful. So
that's an alternate title.
That scene is really good as well. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the roller skating, because that episode is all about Diana being locked and lonely like a Rapunzel in the castle. And to me, the roller skating is a perfect visual representation of that, because in all those shots, she's all by herself.
I understand that. To me, I think there is a more elegant way. Like, I think having a roller skate around Buckingham Palace, I just think is kind of silly and lazy.
It was like an 80s thing is what they were going for, because roller skating was big in the 80s. Speaking of silly and lazy, let's go to The Mandalorian, chapter 16. I don't really want to talk about this scene that much, but because I also don't want to spoil it. But let's just say the final scene of The Mandalorian season 2, where a certain person with a laser sword shows up.
Yeah, I didn't watch The Mandalorian, so I have no opinion.
You know, I will not spoil who it is, because I don't know what it is.
The internet spoiled it 75 minutes after it aired.
But I'm still going to be respectful of that.
I know.
And I will say that I don't think that was the best scene in The Mandalorian, season 2, because one, the CGI was terrible. The best scene in The Mandalorian was actually from the episode before. It was from chapter 15. And this is a comedian that I'm not a particularly big fan of, but Bill Burr has been on The Mandalorian. This is the second
time. Since season one, right?
Yeah, he was in the prison episode in season one. And they brought him back because they needed him for this mission. And they have to do this mission in chapter 15, I believe. It's either chapter 15 or chapter 14, where they have to sneak into this Imperial place. And The Mandalorian and Bill Burr's character dress up as Imperial officers. And Bill Burr comes across an old, because he used to be in the Empire, an old general of his. Mm-hmm. And they sit down at a table and they're in a cafeteria and it's a conversation about war. And Bill Burr brings up the idea that he was like, oh yeah, in that battle, you ordered the death of 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. What did that accomplish? And the supervisor goes, the glory of the Empire. And it's a very fascinating conversation about war. Mm-hmm. And it's literally three people sitting at a table. And it's something that The Mandalorian doesn't do much. And that scene is all about fantastic character work. That is the best scene of the entirety of the entire series of The Mandalorian.
You describing that reminds me of the scene that's the night before the Battle of Winterfell during the final season of Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. where it's just all of the defenders sitting around the fireplace chatting, and Brienne and Jaime are there.
Great scene.
Yeah. Interesting.
The next is The Good Place, Whenever You're Ready, the finale of The Good Place. And without giving away the spoilers, the scene that they're specifically talking about is the scene between Chidi and Eleanor when Chidi makes the decision that begins or that sets off the finale.
And he decides to stay.
And Eleanor says, I was never being good at sad, but this is sad, man. And Chidi gives this lovely short monologue about picture a wave in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
The wave was just a different way for the water to be for a little while. And it's a take on this very famous quote about Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And I forget the original author, but it's hard not to cry at that moment.
I think it's either that or the moment where Jason makes the decision, mm-hmm. because Jason is the first one, and it's surprising to me that it was that character.
Yes.
I think those are probably the two best moments of that season. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the next one is one that I talked about a little bit, but it's particularly the final sequence in Bagman, mm-hmm. Better Call Saul. literally the best episode of Better Call Saul. Jimmy is in the desert. He's being hunted. Mm-hmm. Mike is being Hugman because Jimmy is literally a bag man. And Jimmy comes up with this plan to literally walk into the middle of the highway to distract the bad guys so that Mike can make the shot and kill the guy. And it's the finale of the episode. It also shows you, I think it perfectly and visually demonstrates to you how far into Saul Goodman Jimmy is now, that he would mm-hmm. consider walking to his death a good plan.
Yeah. And it's not the first emergence of the Saul persona, but this might be the solidifying of it as who he is now.
The next perfect scene, and I would almost call this one of the greatest episodes of television of all time. It can be explained by one simple sentence. I'm Jackie Daytona, human bartender. What We Do in the Shadows, On the Run. It's the episode where Mark Hamill shows up as a long-standing feud with Laszlo, and Laszlo decides to go deep undercover, and he goes to Pennsylvania because it sounds like Transylvania, and he takes on the epic persona of the bartender Jackie Daytona, who is the biggest fan of the high school volleyball team, the Bucks. I almost think the scene in that episode is where Mark Hamill comes to the bar and Mark Hamill still doesn't realize that it's Laszlo.
Yeah.
He talks to him like he's a normal bartender. But the Jackie Daytona episode, I think the entire episode, I think, deserves to be on this list.
What We Do in the Shadows had some really stiff competition this year with Schitt's Creek and The Good Place ending. But I think that show, and a lot of people I think have come to it in the pandemic the way that we came to Umbrella Academy, being like, okay, I was going to get around to this and the second season dropped, so why not? I think this show will win an award.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that this year was the year for it.
I agree. Well, it did win Emmys. It did win the Emmy. It didn't win the Emmy.
Schitt's Creek won everything.
It got nominated.
Stuff, yes. Yeah, but it didn't win anything. But it's going to sweep one year.
All right, so and the next show that's on here is Netflix's The Queen's Gambit, which was on our honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. Ashley, I'd love to hear your choice of this, because I know you really enjoyed the series.
I think a little bit more
than me, and it's great. Anya Taylor-Joy is great. Their pick for what they think is the best scene is a very interesting choice. Mm. I don't know if I would have picked it, but I kind of agree. What would you think? What would you name as the best scene in The Queen's Gambit? I'm just curious.
I mean, that's tough. Off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what they said it was first?
So they talked about it in the episode Adjournment, which is, I think, the second to last episode. It's the scene where she is living in New York with Benny, and her and Cleo are talking about a lot of sex and stuff like that. And Benny suggests, oh, we should do it simultaneously. And they lead the audience into thinking that it is going to be possibly an orgy. But instead, it's where she plays all three men in chess and beats them all. And they're not mad about it. They're slowly sliding. Because they talk about how...
Oh, I never for one second thought it was going to be an orgy.
Well,
their
argument for this is that they were like, the show has been building to this sex scene between her and Benny the entire time.
Yeah.
And at the end of this, they cut. We don't even see their sex scene.
Yeah.
Because
that's not what it's about.
Because we saw it in the chess match. Which I thought was a very interesting choice. To be honest with you, my choice would be where she goes down into the janitor's closet in the final episode.
Yeah. My favorite, it's not a scene, but like my favorite moment is when she's finally come back home after her mother died and she puts on her dressing gown.
Mm.
And then the next time we see her, she answers the door and it's like the same. It's like one of the first times we ever met her adopted mom.
Nice.
I like that moment a lot. It's kind of the beginning of her downward spiral for a little while, but that's my favorite part of that show is her relationship with her mother.
Nice.
So that'd probably be my pick, but it's not like a scene.
A series that we all forgot came out this year is Devs, Alex Garland's sci-fi show.
Well, also because, it had like a couple good episodes.
Their pick for the best scene in Devs is actually in the first episode, the giant hook of the series, where Forrest, played by Nick Offerman, meets Sergey outside in episode one and murders him.
That's a decent choice.
Which is a choice. You know what my choice would be?
Mm.
I believe it's episode 4 or 5 of Devs where you get to see the alternate choices of every... You get to see every other character's alternate lives.
I mean, that's the best episode.
If they didn't end up in the show. Now, there's hard to see a specific scene in that one, but there is a scene towards the end of that one where the main heroine meets... I can't remember, the Asian computer programmer who...
The best character in the show?
Yeah, and you...
Jamie.
Yes, and you learn what their lives would have been like if the show didn't happen.
Yeah, he's the best character in
the show. But the twist of Nick... Because I will say, I remember that was the moment where we decided to continue on with the series because we were like, oh, I didn't see this. I didn't see this happening. I didn't see him becoming the murderer.
Devs is a really great movie that was made into a television show.
It was made into, 6 hours too long.
My favorite scene, and it doesn't necessarily speak to the overt nature of this show really, is actually when the young boy, I can't remember anyone's name for that show, gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
And where the older gentleman is like watching him leave and he's like losing his mind. I think that's a really good scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another show that I watched fully in this year and mm-hmm. thoroughly enjoyed is BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
And The View from Halfway Down, which I do agree is the best episode of BoJack Horseman. And it is very, it's basically BoJack Horseman's life flashing before his eyes.
Yeah.
And that is not a spoiler because BoJack Horseman doesn't die in the episode. But it all comes to a moment where he's in this surrealistic play. And he gets to a bridge and he's thinking about jumping down and he pulls up the phone and he calls his best friend, Diane, voiced by Alison Brie. And he asks her to save him, and she says, "I can't. I never picked up the phone, remember?"
Mm-hmm.
And it's all his memory, and then he succumbs to blackness. I remember that moment. That's the moment where BoJack Horseman realizes that he overdosed in the pool, and he may not survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was – I was like, that was brilliant. BoJack Horseman was such a surprising series to me.
That show is so much better than it has any right mm-hmm. to be, and I don't know how you enjoy it if you don't work in Hollywood. But obviously people must because it got like 6 seasons.
Yes.
It's just so specific to like being in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. The next, and I think it's the perfect, the perfect ending.
Yeah.
Because it's also from an episode called Happy Ending. And that is Schitt's Creek. And that is The Wedding. They specifically talk about The Wedding as one of the greatest scenes of 2020. It's interesting because I agree with them because they talk about how weddings can usually be very trope. And very cliche, and that this one figures out a way to not be that.
Yes.
Would you like to talk about that scene anymore? Then,
I like that. There's two choices with wedding scenes, right? And I'm assuming there's two ways that your wedding happens. It's either perfect and fairy tale, or it's trash, right? It's horrible. And this marries those two things because literally everything goes wrong. But it winds up being perfect. And this scene, and then I guess the ending, but it's such a culmination of like who these people are and how they've come this far. And it's really nice because there's an alternate version of this show where all of the wonderful things that it accomplishes are pointed out and othered by the characters from the small town. And it's nice to see everybody come together for David and Patrick.
Now, Ashley, I want to ask you, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be from something that was produced in 2020,
mm-hmm.
but I'd love us to end our episode with, is there anything you watched this year, even on a rewatch? Because like, we rewatched Avatar The Last Airbender, we've been rewatching, we rewatched Futurama, we did a bunch of Simpsons this year,
mm-hmm.
Anything else? Is there a scene, even from a thing that you had seen before, that when you watched it in 2020 really stood out to you? Anything that pops to mind?
That's a really hard question. Because I don't remember stuff that happened before like 3 weeks ago. So it's really hard to cast my mind all the way back.
Okay, I will bring up a couple then.
Okay.
And that will give you time to decide.
Yeah.
Something that really popped to me was when our rewatch of Avatar The Last Airbender, and it's when he meets the guru. And it's a whole episode basically about Aang talking to this guru about spiritualism and opening his chakras and things like that. And that is also the first episode that introduces and really leads into Aang's view of nonviolence, which culminates in the series finale. And that was something that I thought was like the very first time I watched Avatar, I did not notice that. And watching it in this year really hit home to me. There's another episode when I watched Mr. Nobody this year, which is that mm-hmm. Australian show that was aired on Netflix. And there is a very sad scene where his brother, the main character's brother, is has muscular sclerosis, and he is slowly
multiple sclerosis,
and he's slowly losing the use of his body. Mm-hmm. And there is a very powerful scene in that series where the brother asks the main character to end his life because the main character is a hitman, mm-hmm. and the brother says, "Who else would I ask? It's going to be you."
Mm-hmm.
And to see the main character, the actor who is also the writer of the show, grip with that in his head of like, I'm never going to do that, to yes, it makes sense because I love you. Mm-hmm. It was a powerful, powerful moment.
Okay, I have two answers. One is from a show that came out last year. So I guess this is a spoiler if you're not watching Schitt's Creek.
Well, you already, go ahead.
I really love the proposal episode.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so silly, and like Patrick gets injured, and the way he gets injured is super dumb. And it's like obviously not, he has not been injured. It is obviously a prop, like glued to the bottom of his shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so dumb. But I think the scene where he proposes to David is like really, really well written, mm-hmm. and really well acted. And I think it is like, it's the thing that made me cry the most in the season, like more than the wedding or anything else. Like, well, I really loved
that episode. His proposal is also the episode where
I think it's called The Hike, is what that episode
is.
Yeah,
it's the episode where also where they have the health scare with Johnny Rose, where they think
he's
gonna die.
Yeah, but that's not, I don't think that one is handled as well.
I know, but that was all. I was gonna say, for me, I thought it was the combination of both.
But I think that might be the best episode of Schitt's Creek, in my opinion. Certainly the best of like David and Patrick's sure. storyline. I really like that. And then we started watching Yellowstone this year,
mm-hmm.
Which is a Paramount Network, now Peacock, Kevin Costner original. And it's so funny that you brought up the scene from Mr. Nobody, because, there is a scene where Kevin Costner's character, it's his last scene with his father,
mm-hmm.
and thematically it's tying into what, quote unquote, present day Kevin Costner's character is dealing with
yeah.
his
You're
son.
About the cookies?
Yeah. I guess I won't spoil the culmination of that scene.
You should tell the story of the cookies though.
But it's Kevin Costner with his elderly 90-year-old father.
At least 90s, yeah.
I think he says you're 90,
yeah.
Or you're in your 90s. And there is his dad sort of giving him advice, having looked back, he's like, I just miss being young and whatever. And he says, I always knew it was you or something like that. And he's like, well, what do you mean, Dad? He's like, I always knew that you were sneaking down to steal the cookies.
Yeah, I always knew you were the one sneaking in the kitchen in the middle of the night stealing the cookies. And he's like, you thought we didn't know.
No, but
he's
but
like,
we all knew. And I think the writing on that is really lovely because the older you get,
mm-hmm.
to all of our young listeners, the more you'll realize that your parents will always see you as that little child or as that little baby that they held in their arms, which is... why the older you get, sometimes you come to arguments with them over bigger issues. But I thought that was like such a beautiful scene and really, really well acted. And it could have been, because Yellowstone does go into the melodramatic, but that's also what makes it really compelling.
Yes.
And that they played it very real. And so I think that's a very emotional scene. It's just two dudes sitting and talking. Like, it's not a big flashy fight. There's no aliens. The world isn't ending. Nobody gets hit in it, but it was really beautiful.
Yep.
So yeah, there you go.
Speaking of beautiful,
Intern Rego's not here.
No, the song that picks everybody up, except for Ashley.
Yeah.
You know, listeners, we've talked about my love of the Price is Right theme song, and that's one of the things I've loved about 2020 is that you all have embraced us using the Price is Right theme song into these episodes. You know, the funny thing about it is that if we're ever to release any of these public later, they'll all be copyright flagged.
You just have to cut this music out.
I'm not doing that. I don't care. Come after us, CBS. Come after us. That's all I say.
Don't you work for CBS?
I do. I do work for CBS. Come after us. Anyways, I don't know. I don't know how to end this.
Okay.
It's been a hell of a year, everybody.
Yeah.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll hear this before the new year. Yeah, they will. Yes, they will. They will. So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being a patron. Hope you stuck through this year. We did.
We did.
And we made it through. And because of that, we get to listen to this song, the happiest song in the universe. Go look. There's a Stephen Colbert clip where he plays this over like very disturbing footage. And it actually makes all the footage very happy. So my friends, I know the price is right because you listen. And thank you so much for the support. I'm Jason. Price is Right Inman.
Master Victoria Robinson.
Goodbye, super friends.